Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Dear listening friend, every false teacher, in order to save his cause, must repudiate the Bible as the guide in religion. He must do this either by contradicting the Word, or just ignoring it, taking from it, or equating other authorities alongside the Word, as is claimed a latter-day revelation, some emotional experience which he attributes to the direct operation of the Holy Spirit, claiming to receive special communications and revelations from God, having warm feelings and still small voices and visions and dreams, accumulating his creeds and manuals and catechisms, confessionals, the edicts of councils and conferences and synods and popes and some other human ecclesiastical body or source. There are all sorts of religious authorities to which men look today, rather than or alongside of the Bible. And without them, the false teacher is silenced. Currently, there is an emphasis on the alleged activity of the Holy Spirit, separate and apart from the Word, the Bible, the Scriptures. The doctrine is the Bible plus doctrine. Some have even gone to such extremes as to claim the Holy Spirit leads them regarding where to work, even where to park their car, which airplane to ride, what clothes to wear, which school to attend. The Holy Spirit makes all of their decisions for them, they claim. Still others claim their preaching is directly guided by the Holy Spirit in a special and miraculous way, entering the preacher and speaking through him, illuminating the word for the reader and the hearer by special operation. Well, such claim has been the basis for tongue speakers and the so-called miracle workers of our time. Dear listener, those of this doctrinal persuasion have developed a distinct vocabulary among themselves. You can hear them talking about the Holy Spirit laying a burden on their heart. You hear them talking about witnessing for Christ, and you can hear them giving their personal testimonies, claiming the Lord spoke to them, being illuminated by the Holy Spirit, and they talk about some kind of personal indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm well aware that some teach a personal indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but they deny any special miraculous power. But their language is not sound to speech, Titus 2 and verse 8, nor do they speak as the oracles of God, 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. We must realize that claiming activity by the Holy Spirit, separate and apart from the Word, has historically given rise to the occults, to Mormonism, the Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, Romanism, Pentecostalism, the Electronic Church with the PTL Club and the 700 Club, teachers like Oral Roberts, who claimed he once saw a giant Jesus, Pat Robinson, Jim Baker. It is a basic stone in the foundation of Calvinism. Nearly every denomination looks to something other than the Bible, or in addition to the Bible, as their source of religious authority. And they claim it is the work of the Holy Spirit. Well, a very fair and sobering question that we ask of those who make such claims and cite such authorities is, if the Holy Spirit is guide of all such things, why the contradictions, the confusion, the division? Is deity that confused to give different messages and different doctrines, and all of them to be coming from God? Now, we can know that these claims are false, not only because they contradict the biblical teaching, but because of the fruit being born. The position of the false teachers is that if you cannot prove something from the Bible, then you prove it by your feelings. Your claims of God speaking directly, even secretly, to you, the extra something to which he is privileged that nobody else receives. Well, God has revealed his mind to man concerning man's duty to God, and he's taught us how man must serve and worship God. He has taught us the kind of life that God expects man to live. God has spoken to man, Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. And there are only two ways for one mind to communicate with another mind. It is either a direct and miraculous communication, or there is the use of means and agents and symbols and words through which one acts to produce effects on the mind of another, to convey thoughts. On the day of Pentecost, God miraculously guided the minds of the apostles in what they spoke. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 12 and 13 teaches the miraculous guidance, as does 2 Peter chapter 1, 20 and 21. Christ had promised the apostles that the Holy Spirit would guide them into all truth. Paul warned against any doctrine other than what he had preached. Peter said they received all things that pertain to life and godliness. John chapter 14, 15 and 16, 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. Friend, unless God still miraculously guides us, he must guide us through some other way other than the miraculous. He does guide us some other way other than the miraculous. He guides us through a medium, a means, an agency. Now, if God guides some miraculously and not everyone, then he is indeed a respecter of persons, in spite of Peter and Paul's denial of that. If God miraculously guides even certain ones, why does not he guide them all alike? For they differ tremendously. They all make these claims of being guided by the Holy Spirit, but they don't agree with one another. Why do they not all have the same knowledge and teach the same doctrine? Why is their message at such variance from what the apostles taught, in spite of the warnings against the teaching of such things? Where are the genuine signs and wonders and miracles to confirm their claim, as was done by the apostles, the ones to whom the promise of miraculous guidance was made as they went about revealing the whole counsel of God? Where goes the claim, must go the demonstration of that claim. Just to simply claim the Holy Spirit is directly guiding you proves nothing. Where is the proof of that claim? To claim the direct and miraculous guidance of the Holy Spirit today is to speak disparagingly of the all-sufficiency of the Scriptures, even though Scripture claims that for itself, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. We hear those who claim the Bible plus contend that the Bible is not adequate, it's not sufficient, or that we can't understand it. The truth is that God either could not give us revelation we could grasp, lacking the power to do so, or he would not provide such a revelation that we could grasp, but he still holds us responsible to obey it. Which horn of the dilemma would you like to take? Either he could not, or he would not. But we contend that he did reveal his will sufficiently, within the grasp of man to read and to know, Ephesians 3, 1 through 5, Ephesians 5, verse 17. And God allows for no other guide than that which he has provided, 2 John, verse 9, Revelation 22, 18 and 19, Galatians 1, 6 through 9, many passages affirm, there is no other guide. The claim of Scripture for Scripture is that it is verbally inspired. It is inerrant, infallible, authoritative, and all-sufficient. Now, friend, it either is or it is not. If it is, then all else is eliminated. If it is not, then why should we have confidence in anything else the Scripture would tell us? Faithful gospel preachers who rely on and preach the Word are sometimes accused of being obsessed with the Bible as the sole authority. Certainly they are. Indeed, they must be, if they be true to the Lord. To deny a special miraculous operation by the Holy Spirit does not make one anti-Holy Spirit. It does not negate the power of the Holy Spirit. It does not challenge the providence of God. It does not deny deity answers prayer. We confess the reality of the Holy Spirit as one of the Godhead. What all deity may do, we would not profess to know fully. But as for the way deity has and does communicate the message of salvation through Christ to mankind, we can be certain, because deity has revealed in his word how deity has done this. But someone asks, Does not the Holy Spirit dwell in us? The answer is yes. There are many passages that so teach, such as Romans chapter 8 and verse 11, and many others. That's not the question here, however. It is not argued about the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. He does. But understand that Christ dwells in us also, Ephesians 3:17. The Father dwells in us also, 1 Corinthians 3:16. But none of these passages that teach the Holy Spirit dwelling in us teach us that He dwells in us literally, personally, actually, as if our bodies are occupied by any spirit other than our own. Ah, yes, the Lord lives in us, but how does the Lord live in us? Galatians 2:20. The Bible teaches that the Word dwells in us also, Colossians 3 and verse 16. Now, I've had it said to me, and I've considered it a compliment, by some who knew my father. And they will say, I can see your father in you. Now, how do they see my father in me? Is it because my father's literal spirit has come to occupy my body? Indeed not. At this time, my father's physically dead, and his spirit is in the hands of God, not in my body. They see my father in me as I partake of the ways and the attitudes and the manners of my father. As I follow him, he is seen in me. So it is, friend, with deity dwelling in humanity. In John chapter 15, verses 1 through 10, it teaches us how deity dwells in humanity. If you read those verses carefully, you will notice the verses speak of man abiding, living, dwelling in Christ, and Christ abiding, living, dwelling in man, and God and Christ abiding, living, dwelling one with the other. This is accomplished, as Scripture says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. This concept of the indwelling of deity in humanity is nothing more or less than the doctrine of fellowship between deity and humanity, of which we read in 1 John 1, 3, and verse 7. Deity no more operates and possesses people's hearts apart from their will than does Satan. Satan uses the means to influence man, such as words, false doctrines, temptations, false teachers, deceptions, and various other satanic servants. But God also uses means. Man is a free moral agent with the power of choice to decide his own will, whether he will serve God or serve Satan. To suggest some direct operation of either one is to surrender man's power of choice, and man becomes but a pawn and but a robot. What a degrading doctrine of the dignity of human beings. As far as the Holy Spirit leading and guiding and influencing us, nothing is taught in the Bible of Him that is not also taught of the Word. Now, the Holy Spirit is not the same as the Word, but the truth is that the Holy Spirit operates by and through the Word. They do not operate independently. Some use the word conjointly, which is at best confusing because it's not biblical. They do not operate independently one from another. But the Holy Spirit uses His sword, which is the Word of God, Ephesians 6 and verse 17. He uses that sword to accomplish His operation. The Word is the medium of deity. God's Word once was embodied in inspired men. Now it is embodied in the inspired Scriptures. And we urge each reader to consider such passages as we find in James chapter 1, verse 18 and 21 and 22. There we learn we are begotten with the Word. We are saved by the Word. Paul told the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 15, they had been begotten by the Gospel. Indeed, we must be born again, John chapter 3, 3 through 5. But we are begotten by the Word, 1 Peter 1 and verse 23. Ephesians 5 and verse 26 teaches that Christ cleanses by the Word. We have a parallel passage in Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16, which show that the Spirit dwells in us and the Word dwells in us. The Spirit dwells as the Word dwells. Psalms 119 verse 105, we are led by the Word. Our hearts are enlightened by the Word, Psalm 110. By the Word we get understanding, and dear friend, we shall be judged by the Word, John 12:48. We're called to God by the Gospel, the Word of God, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14. Faith comes by the Word, Romans 10 and verse 17. Christ came to give the water of life, John 4 and verse 14, but what is the water that He gave? He gave the Word. God draws man, but He draws man through man learning. He comes to God by teaching, John 6, 44 and 45. To resist the preaching of the prophets was to resist the Holy Spirit, Acts 7, 51 and 52. God testified against Israel by the preaching of the word that was done by the prophets, Nehemiah 9 and verse 30. So let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Every effect, every emotion, every direction the Holy Spirit produces is engineered by the use of the word. Only through the word does deity lead us. If it is not found in God's word, then it is not God's will. For this reason, we should try the spirits whether they be of God, 1 John 4:1, and the standard of measure by which to try them is the Word, Acts 17 and verse 11. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And friend, may I send forth to you in kindness this warning. Beware of those who claim something special, some kind of revelation and guidance that nobody else ever receives. Rather, as Isaiah said in Isaiah 8 and verse 20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.